Blog Talk Radio.
A new
direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, mighty Lord, mighty God. Mighty, mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord, mighty God that we serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. What an awesome, awesome God we serve, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, thank you, Brother David. Shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, Brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata, speaking to you from about 2,400 feet up in the mountain, sent here by Jesus, by the Lord, my brother and sister. Hallelujah, to be protected by the tsunami that are coming to the eastern part of the United States. Hallelujah. Great tsunami are coming. Great earthquakes are coming. Great judgment are coming. And we are here sent by the Lord, my brother and sister, about 8 years ago. Hallelujah. To come here and serve him from here, my brother and sister, because the judgment are going to be great up in the eastern part of the United States, to come and warn, alert people to prepare and be ready, because great judgment are going to hit the earth, my brother and sister. We are living in the last day. The Apostle Jude write to the brothers and sisters in Asia. Hallelujah. And he write in Jude 1:3 and says, "Dear friends, I had intended to write to you about the salvation we share, but something had come up, and it is demand that I write to you." This is from the Word of God Bible. "And encourage you to continue to fight the Christian faith that was entrusted to God, holy people, once all time. Some people have slipped among you unnoticed." The King James Bible says unaware. "Now, long ago, they were condemned in writing for the following reason." I am writing for the following reason. Okay? In writing for the following reason. "There are people to whom God means nothing. They use God kindness. They use God kindness." I was just listening to a word from a servant of the Lord, how a demon in person are coming using the kindness of the church, okay, to get among the Christians and deceive them. But Jesus already told us in Matthew 24, "Be ye not deceived." Remember, don't be deceived. Hallelujah, listen to Jesus. "They use God's kindness and as an excuse for sexual freedom and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ." This is in Jude 1:4, my brother and sister. Okay? "They use the kindness of God. They don't care. They deny him. They don't care for his gospel, what he did on the cross, his salvation, his eternal plan. They don't care for none of that, my brother and sister. They just want what they want, okay? What they can get from you, what they can get from the Christians. That's it. This is why learning from the Lord is the best thing you can ever do, because he'll teach us how to deal with certain individuals, certain people that will come, hallelujah, unaware, sleeping, hiding, okay? They always got something to hide. They always got secret. Okay, Jesus never had any secret. Everything he spoke it openly, my brother and sister. So we have to be careful with so much secret that are going on around. Verse 5, I want to remind you about what you already know. Okay? And Paul says that he keeps writing, okay, to the church, what he already had wrote before to them, but God wanted him to keep repeating because we need to be reminded. We forget. That's one thing. We forget. We need to be reminded of God's promise, of the things that are happening around us, my brother and sister, in which God wants to keep us protected. Okay? God wants to deliver us from evil, protect us from evil. That is part of his promise to us, my brother and sister. So it's very important that we keep studying his word and learning of him who is humble and meek of heart, my brother and sister. Very important we learn of Jesus. I want to remind you about what you already know, that the Lord once saved his people from Egypt, but in another occasion he destroyed those who did not believe. My Lord, my God. And this is so true. And this you cannot even torture in Christians, because they are focused on what God did to get them out of Egypt. You see, they're focused on God's mercy. Oh, God is so merciful. God is so good. And he is. He is. He took them out of Egypt. He remembered his promise to Abraham. Took them out of Egypt. Okay? But when they refused to listen to Moses, to God through Moses, they made God angry. Okay? That the Lord, hallelujah, once saved his people from Egypt, but in another occasion, destroyed those who did not believe. Because a lot of those that don't believe will contaminate those that believe. And God knows, God is like, there's a line, an invisible line. People talk about that line all the time. That certain people passes, and that's the end of that. Okay? That is the end of that. When they pass that line, that invisible line. We need to walk with God with fear and trembling. My brother and sister, one of the things that God never told us is in the day when we are going to die. God usually don't reveal that to his people. And a lot of people are going to die. And they're probably looking forward to seeing the rapture, and they will not get to see it. They'll die before. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Paul says. So it don't matter whether we live or die. It's to be what the Lord was matter, my brother and sister. That's what's matter. Hallelujah, that we will be with the Lord. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. Thank you, Lord. So Paul, the Apostle Jude, warned the brothers and sisters in his one chapter letter. I want to remind you about what you already know, that the Lord once saved the people from Egypt, but in another occasion, he destroyed those who did not believe. Okay? And then he goes into the conversation about angels, and these are fallen angels. Okay? Because a lot of people have a tough, difficult time believing in fallen angels being among us, being among people. Okay, and so it's hard, it's difficult to explain that topic, and there's so much in the Bible about it, and I have shared for years about this, and it's one of the things that people have persecuted me for, my brother and sister, who did not believe, but he held angels to judgment on that great day. They were held in darkness, bound by eternal chains. These are the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their assigned place. That's that invisible line that no one sees that we're talking about. That God put on his creation. Okay? You can go there, but don't you dare go there. You can go here, but don't you dare go there. Go where? You better seek the Lord for guidance. You better have the Lord lead you. Okay? Because a lot of people think they can go anywhere, my brother and sister. And again, there was a sister that she thought she could go anywhere, went to the Middle East and got herself captured by them and thrown in jail. And she's been abused there sexually by the Taliban. She's being abused, and the Lord told me to pray for her. Show me her situation. My brother and sister, you got to seek the Lord for guidance. You got to get with the Lord. You cannot be guessing about your life, about the freedom the Lord has given you. If the Lord have you in America, in a place of freedom, it's for a reason. Wherever the Lord have you, in Canada, in Australia, in Germany, in France, in Spain, no matter where you find yourself, that God had have you be there, my brother and sister. Thank God for where you are. And make sure that before you move anywhere, before you go anywhere, you pray, you seek the Lord. Okay? Don't be moving around without seeking the Lord. I heard the Lord saying, yes, just say yes to me. This he wants this word out. I didn't plan this. Most everything I talk, I don't plan. I open my mouth. He gives me the word. I hear him speak to me. My brother and sister, I open the Bible. He speaks to me. Okay? This is important. Don't be going anywhere without seeking the Lord. There are some time that the Lord wants you in a certain city or in a certain state. I know that Father don't like us to be moving around. He told me this once. We need to be led by his spirit. He wants to lead us. Anywhere we go, we need to go to him first. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. Whether he speak to you to a vision, a dream, your mind, your heart, the word, seek his guidance. Pray for his guidance, his leadership in your life, where he will lead you whenever he wants you to go. Because we get in a ton of trouble when we just get up and go. Okay? Ton of trouble. This woman decided to go to the Middle East. She got captured. She's in jail. She's being abused sexually almost every day. The Lord showed me her. It's terrible, the things that are happening. She went for America there. So sad. My brother and sister. Okay? And so, hallelujah. It's where you are is where the Lord wants you to be. And if he wants you to be somewhere else, you pray. You don't just get on your car and go. You don't get on your mule and go. You don't get on your camel and go. You don't get on your horse and go. Hold your horses. I love when people should say that. Hold your horses. Okay? Don't be running everywhere. Seek the Lord. Now, less than 3 weeks, the my brother and sister, the order of violence passed for 100 or more employees company to be the mandate for vaccination. You can already hear in the news, my brother and sister, I had to use Bank of America yesterday, and it was closed. And they were closed, yes, for holiday, but I hear that Bank of America and other places are losing a lot of employees. Airlines are losing 18,000 employees quickly. And I heard some of them being interviewed, my brother and sister, the day before yesterday, in regard to this vaccine mandate. okay? Biden have made this, done this through an executive order. This by suit mandate, my brother and sister. And they want companies for 100 or more employees to be vaccinated, mandatory. So a lot of people, like living in, I was in Lowell talking to one of the employees about this today. Okay? This is terrible. This is sad. This is coming. Nurses are quitting their jobs. Doctors are quitting their jobs because of this. Okay, this is coming in less than 2 weeks. I don't have the day. I don't know if it's the 21st or 22nd. If someone does from online, please share on the chat room. But this vaccine mandate is coming this month, my brother and sister, before the month is over. And a lot of people are already quitting their jobs. Okay. A lot of people believe that by quitting their job, they're sending a signal to Washington that this mandate is not going to work. And they think that they will have to remove it. But Obama, the devil wants this, and they're going to push it forward. My brother and sister, this is a fact. I've been speaking about this before it even came through violence, that this will come. My brother and sister, I saw it so close this year, that I mentioned it last year, that this year law will be in place, okay, for people to be vaccinated mandatory, okay? And I didn't know the day, I didn't know the month, but everything has been falling exactly how the Lord showed me. It's coming this month, it's here, it's going to be terrible right now. A lot of people, it's not affecting people as much, but it will after the end of this month, okay? Now, I also heard about food shortages, okay, in the United States, that no one can explain that. Supermarkets are complaining they're not getting the food. Even when they have placed the order, they're not getting the supplies, okay? And it was confirmed against the main law that they're not getting the supply neither. Okay, and they have placed the order. Okay, manufacturers are not getting the product to them. So things are changing, my brother and sister, to a way we're going to affect everybody. Prices are going up. They might double and triple and quadruple before the end of the year, my brother and sister. Gas prices, I heard of someone, I don't know if it was in Switzerland or the gas prices were like $9 a gallon, and they believe it's coming to the U.S. Okay, in another country, $9 a gallon of gas they are paying right now, and they believe this is coming to the U.S. My brother and sister, so gas prices are going to be higher. Okay, they are expecting a barrel of gas, a petroleum, for $120 before this year end. I don't know how true that will be, but we can already see the sign. We haven't had $120 in the U.S. barrel of gas. If it goes out there to $120, we're looking up $6, $7, maybe $8, even $9. Dollar of gallon of gas. Did not the Lord told us to save on gas also? Okay, my brother and sister. Okay, everything is like right there. We know the Lord is about to come. We know that for a fact. He has made us a promise to return for us, for his people, to return for his bride that have made herself ready. And this is exciting. Okay, but before we leave, we're going to see the signs, hallelujah, before he comes, that things without the Lord is not the same. Without the Lord's help, who is so giving, he's just not loving. He is love for sure, but he is so giving. He's been giving humanity who's been asking and praying. The more the nations, my brother and sister, pray, the more they receive. Because that's where the foundation of the word, Matthew 7:7 is ask and thou shall receive. So the more a nation pray, the more a nation ask, the more they receive. That's why the United States has been so close with Israel in receiving from God. Because the United States has had so many millions of Christians over the year praying, asking God. And that changes everything. Because the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. That is why. And so when churches get together to pray, what happens? Churches are blessed. Supply comes in. Because that is the foundation of creation, the word, ask and thou shalt receive. The earth was founded on the word of God. So this is why prayer is so effective. When you pray, you are aligned with the will of God. You are obeying the will of God. You're standing on the word. You're standing on his promise. You're standing on creation. You're aligning your prayer with creation. And so when you pray, you will receive. When you ask, you will receive. Jesus said, my brother and sister, praise your Lord. And the Jewish people has been a great example of this. Why they have always, God said he will keep a remnant out of the Jewish people. My brother and sister, because there's always a remnant of them praying. Okay? All history, going back to the beginning, the remnant of the Jewish people had always prayed. It's always been part of the belief in God, praying, 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 praying. You don't believe me? Go to Jerusalem, okay, to the dwelling wall, and on a Saturday, every week you can go. And tell me if you don't see hundreds and thousands of Jewish men and women praying there. Okay? They're there praying. Why are they always there praying? Because they know that when they pray, God answers them. My brother and sister, okay? It's very important. Very, very important. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Confess your faults to one another. That is part of the Jewish community, confessing to one another of the calling of God in our life as church, that ye may be healed. Confessing is that you won't hold back what's in your heart against anyone. Even if you love some, if you love everybody but hate just one, that one that you hate holds back your healing. My brothers and sisters, holds back your healing. A lot of people don't realize that why does their sickness hold back for so long? And they focus on the healing that they need and want. But if they focus on forgiving other people more than their healing will come quickly, my brother and sister. It might be that the person that you hate so much is keeping your healing back. It's the reason why your healing is held back, my brother and sister. Or it could be that you refuse to forgive someone that hurt you in your past. And you have held that against that person for so long, my brother and sister, that keeps your healing back. One of the signs of unforgiveness is bitterness, hatred, and evil speaking, my brother and sister. People that usually hate someone or have something against someone will always express a hatred toward that person or someone that I hurt them, my brother and sister, or feels that, because sometimes people won't confess that. The Bible says to confess, but the majority of people don't confess. And confessing what's in your heart is the best way to be healed, okay? And the Lord says for us to confess it to one another. Find a dear Christian, a dear brother that you trust, that is of the same faith, and tell them how you feel about that other person.
It's not the same like you going to the priest to confess your sin. It's similar what the Catholic Church have established, confessing the sin to the priest, because you are confessing, my brother and sister, there's great healing in confessing. Okay? But it's someone that is a brother, the Bible advice, one another, that is among believer, my brother and sister. Even when the apostle, I want to show you about the one to another, because Paul says about the one to another, or one another. Okay? I want to show you that is a believer. Okay? Bible confirms itself, my brother and sister. Okay? It's never anybody else but a believer that you confess to. Okay? So you see how the Bible, okay, the Bible is so true. It's so accurate, my brother and sister. And it's not using it as a religious way. It's using it as a healing, because it says that you may be healed. So it's a healing tool. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. I'm looking for the verse for a minute. Hallelujah. You see how we're talking about something and then we're led to another? Praise the Lord. Like in Romans 1:12, and to put to another way that by being with you, we might through the faith we share and encourage one another. See, that is a believer there, one another. Again, put it in the chat room. He's referring to a believer, not a non-believing. My brother and sister, not a non-believing. Hallelujah. And then Romans 13:8, that we all are anyone, anything, except to love one another, for whosoever loveth fellow men have fulfilled the law, the Torah. Okay? Because this is the Messianic now, the Torah. The Word, the Bible, the commandment. Okay? So important we understand the foundation of forgiving one another is believer, not non-believer. You don't go to a non-believer. You go to a believer. And that believer who is your brother, who is your sister, you tell them how you feel. You can say how you feel. You can say how you've been hurt, offended. And that person would advise you or pray for you. And you can say, "For pray, can you pray for me on this?" Okay, if the person has the time right there, I can pray for you. Okay? Or can you take this in prayer with me? Or can you agree with me in prayer for this? Okay? Because I feel this. I've been hurt by this person. This person offended me. Okay? And when you take the offense into prayer, the Apostle James said that you may be healed. Your healing comes forward. What's holding back your healing? The unforgiveness. Confessing it, taking it into action, into prayer, you begin the process of healing. And that releases your healing. And your healing comes forward. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And you may have, and thank you for the question, you may have someone that don't know how to handle this, but this is why you ask, let's pray, can you take this in agreement and prayer with me? Okay? And of course you, but how can you feel this way about this other person? You know? You can be offended by someone and hold a grudge against the person. You have to repent, yes. Would affect your spiritual life? Yes. Mostly your healing. Unforgiveness affects your healing, my brother and sister. And I know, because when I came to the Lord, or when the Lord began to work with me one-on-one on this, he began to show me my unforgiveness that was holding back my healing, my ministry, my growing in the Lord. Okay? Yes. Amen, brother. Like Job, friends. Okay? Then he showed me that it holds back your healing, but it also holds back your growing in the Lord. You won't grow spiritually. You want to grow. You want to grow into the spiritual levels of the Spirit, higher level of the Spirit, more anointing, more power, more unctions in your life, more of God. You'll see more of God. When you're walking in that anointing, the doors open. You see how people are knocking and knocking, the door don't open. No, when you're walking in that anointing, it breaks the yoke that is holding the door closed. And you can walk through the door. I have people say, how can you just walk through that door? My brother and sister, how? Okay? Praise the Lord. The Lord can do these things. The Lord can anoint you to walk through those doors that seems impossible for someone else. My brother and sister. So, it's just walking. Notice that there's people that have been just in the closet praying with God and seeking God and committing their life, confessing their sins, just seeking healing, seeking to be anointed, to be filled with the Lord, to be healed, just listening to the Lord, being guided by the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, they come out and they have a powerful ministry, and they're reaching thousands and millions of people. How does that happen? Because that is between you and the Lord. He will anoint you, and the door that was seen close to many people, this person through anointing can just walk through them easily, no problem. The doors are just open. They can go away, seeing there's nothing there, and all of a sudden things comes to them up here, out of nowhere. The anointing breaks the yoke. That's what that is. The anointing breaks the yokes. That's what Isaiah 58 is about, the fasting of the Lord. You see it, breaking the yoke, breaking the chain. Then you are asked. You will ask and you'll receive from him. Your light will go forward, my brother and sister. That anointing will break every door that are closed, and you can walk through them easily, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Praise the Yeshua. The Lord will make everything possible to them that believe. But it's getting there with the Lord. And a lot of time, some people want to get there, and they're close to getting there. But the unforgiveness in their heart is not letting them move forward. Okay? Some people think it's okay that if someone has hurt you and you still have that hurt to live with that. No, it's not okay with God. Because this is the part about you being free, being healed and being free. My brother and sister, nothing can be holding that captive in the Lord. He came to set the captive free. That was us. He wants to set us free. And then he said, who the Son set free, it is free indeed. I asked that for myself because I remember as a teenager, I learned to smoke cigarette. I think it was Newport Light, if I can remember clear. And I wanted to quit. I could not. Gave my life to Jesus. And the next week, I began to smoke again. But I got convicted by the Lord that I should have not done that. And I was going crazy. Because then, as the Lord convicted you not to do it anymore, but I felt like there was something that needed to be broken in my life for this to let go. The Christian that given their life to the Lord, they either hold back by cigarette, alcohol, marijuana, and other drugs. Then you got to ask the Lord to set you free. You need to fast and pray, and in that regard, especially, for yourself. Don't worry about someone else. First, you need to be free. It's funny how the devil wants you to worry about how other people are captive, and you can see it, but you are captive also. But the devil wants you to worry about them being captive, not your particular life. The Lord wants us personally to deal with him one-on-one with whatever's holding us back, whatever's bounding us, whatever's keeping us captive, one-on-one. The Lord wants to deal with that in our lives. And the devil wants you to, oh, no, but what about your sister? What about your brother? What about your uncle, your mom? She's still doing it. What does that have to do with you? Nothing. You are a salvationist individual. You are an individual before the Lord. He wants you to deal with it one-on-one. He wants you to fast, you to pray, set you free. So when you can be strong to say no, because that's what the Lord will set us free, and then he'll make us strong to say no to it. No. Okay? And then when he brings you there, when he set you free and brings you there, then you can begin to help someone else who's going through it. But while you're there, you cannot try to help anybody else because the enemy will have you do it. No, no. My brother and sister, very important that we understand a blind cannot leave the blind, an example. We cannot leave anyone if we're still captive in this certain area. No, we need to be free from the Lord. So the Lord began to work with me to set me free. And so I was able, he made me strong enough to say, no, no more. Not smoking anymore. And set me free from that. Okay? And I did smoke weed back in the early years, age of before I came unto the Lord. And I'm talking about back in 90, the last time I smoked weed, last time that I ever did it, Shalom, Sister Australia, that was like in 91, maybe 92. Imagine how many years it's been. Okay, but he set me free. He came to set the captive free. I give him my heart, give him my life. I recommitted myself to him, and he worked with me and made me strong to say, no, not anymore. I was preaching to a friend. He threw the smoke of weed right in my face. I used to smoke with him, hanging around together. He threw the smoke in my face when I was preaching to him. And I just moved my hand with the smoke aside, and I kept preaching to him. And he said, Elvi, you used to love smoking weed. Why are you rejecting it now? I said, no, it's not anymore for me. For me, it's the Lord now. You need to get your life straight with the Lord. The Lord can set you free from that. And I was able to share with him how God can set him free. He threw the smoke in my face and thought I was going to fall. And he didn't fall that because I can see the smile in him. My brother insisted. But that same guy now is a pastor in Orlando, Florida. My brother insisted. A few months ago, we had this conversation on the phone. You kept your faith, Brother Elvi. You gave me an example, he says to me on the phone. He said, Pastor, now, you gave me an example, really. And that's how it is. You see, the Lord sets me free. The Lord works with me. He set me free, and then I can go and help someone else. That's the way it works. It doesn't work the other way around. Oh, glory be to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is so awesome. So what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and the city near them as an example for us? You notice that? God used this city who were very captive by sin and evil as an example. Did God give them the opportunity to be saved and to be set free? Yes. Did they receive it? No. That's what God wants you, each and one of us, to do. He gives us the opportunity. The gospel is shared to us. What Jesus did on the cross is shared with us. And we said, amen, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. And you begin to repent. You begin to fast. You begin to seek the Lord to help you to be free. And you say, Lord, you came to set the captive free. Set me free, Lord. Please set me free. I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. I know this is not pleasing unto you, Jesus. Please set me free from this. Please help me, Lord. And you fast and pray. And you do it, hallelujah. And there comes the moment you read his word, you commit to him, you do what you can do because the Lord will do what you cannot do in your life. When you are sincere, that's called sincere repenting, sincere prayer. When you say, Lord, please help me to stop this. Lord, please, I don't want to do this anymore. And don't feel embarrassed to ask your brother and sister for prayer. No, no, no. Because a lot of us been there before. And we cannot point fingers at them. How dare you. Now that's nonsense and foolishness. We don't have the right to point fingers to nobody. We been there ourselves. My brother and sister, we're here to encourage you. We're here to lead you to the one that helped us to help you. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what we're here for, to pray for you, to pray with you in agreement for the Lord who is merciful with us, to be also merciful with you. That's what we're here for. We're not here to point finger to nobody. God forbid us to do that. That ugly and shameful thing to point finger. No, my brother and sister, we don't do those things. Hallelujah. We don't accuse anyone. We're not part of the Satan ministry. The accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. That's what he does. That's why he keeps people down in shame. We don't do those things. We're not part of his ministry. We're part of the Lord ministry. What Jesus does, he intercedes for you and I day and night. He goes to the Father and says, Father, forgive them. Help them, Father. Help them. Have mercy on them. Have mercy on them. That's what Jesus does every day for this fallen humanity. He pray for them. He intercedes. He lives to intercede. That's what his life is about. Interceding for one another, my brother and sister. Some people feel so ashamed that they don't want to hear it. They lock themselves in the problem. No, don't do that either. Don't let the devil put you down either, feel you down, make you feel like you're the worst. No, my brother and sister, we are in the hospital of Jesus. We are in the hand of our Lord who will help us, who will restore us, who will heal us. He is the God that healeth thee. Hallelujah. No, we are not supposed to smoke weed. No. No, because, see, we that is considered damaging the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, my brother and sister. And God don't want us, it talks about in the book of Romans, for us not to destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit. So even if your doctor, if you're like in California, one of the states like Massachusetts where we come from, approve weed as a treatment for different things. If your doctor had approved and recommended for you to smoke weed, no. You take it before the Lord in prayer, whatever it is. And if you need us to pray for you, just let us know. Also, we don't. We don't want to destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, okay, my brother and sister, we have to be careful with what these doctors are recommending. We have to be extremely careful, my brother and sister. Okay, I can see how. An example, someone that was vaccinated, how their eyes, amen, sister, we'll pray for you. Their eyes are changing in people's. I was speaking with someone earlier who's been vaccinated, and it was like, wow, that is incredible. We're seeing what doctors are recommending. He got recommended to be vaccinated. He took the Moderna, he says, okay, and how it affected him. His wife, he took the Pfizer, his wife took the Moderna, and she got sick, okay? And the vaccine is supposed to help us against the coronavirus, COVID-19, but she ended up getting sick. So how is that helping her now and make her sick? In some cases, people have died after taking it, and it's been recommended by the doctor. So you see, not everything the doctor recommends is good for you. You have to be careful with it. This is why we need to pray, my brother and sister. So, so important. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yeshua. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. So, again, grace to us. So the people of the city suffer the same fate that God people named you dead because they committed sexual sin and engaged in homosexual activity, says his translation. Okay? God did not want to destroy them. My brothers and sisters, opium too. Anything that cigarette, anything that can harm your body, you got to ask the Lord to take it away from you. You do not want to destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit. My brother and sister, you got to pray, you got to fast, okay? And the Lord will remove that from you. The Lord will, and not only what the Lord, no birth control, the Lord, not only what the Lord remove that from you, but the Lord can restore your body from it too. The damage that it caused to your body, the Lord can restore it by faith through healing, my brother and sister. So he'll set the captive free like he did in Jerusalem everywhere, but he also healed the sick. He can bring healing to our body, my brother and sister. So these things we got to pray for, okay? You got to commit your life to the Lord for them. Verse 8, yet in a similar way, the people who slip among you are dreamer. They contaminated their body with sin. You see how they began? This is how they were led to God destroying the cities because they contaminated their body. The Bible says, yet in a similar way, the people who slip in among you are dreamer. They contaminated the body with sin. How do you contaminate your body with sin? Well, you have to sin. You have to go do the things God's telling you not to do. God, Bible said, do not murder, and they want to murder. Bible said, do not steal, and they want to steal. The Bible said, do not commit adultery, and they want to commit adultery. They contaminated the body with sin, my brother and sister. And just because marijuana has been approved in California, Massachusetts, and these several states, it doesn't mean now that it's okay for us to go and smoke it or take it as a medication. It's not okay because our life belongs to Jesus. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, my brother and sister. And the Holy Spirit is holy, so we have to keep, and which the word holy is separated. So that means we need to keep our body separated from anything that will contaminate it. And that is anything down here, like weed, drugs, and all the stuff that will contaminate it. My brother and sister. Okay, herbal tea, I take tea myself. We cannot abuse it, my brother and sister. Because certain tea can cause damage to your body also. I was taking a tea that was actually hurting me, then helping me. I can't remember the name of it now. My brother and sister, matcha tea. Matcha tea, there was someone that, or matcha powder tea, okay, which is, you have to be careful with it. Too much of it is not good for you. Okay, I had a doctor friend who saw me drink a lot of matcha tea, and I asked, Brother Elby, is that okay? Because he knew there was something wrong with matcha. Okay? So pine needle tea, you can take some tea, but don't abuse it so much. Okay? So we just need to be careful, okay, with these things. Amen? So in a similar way, the people who sleep among you who are dreaming, they contaminated the body with sin, reject the Lord's authority, and then insult his glory. Look how far they took it. The word authority is when the Lord told us not to do these things, not to destroy the temple, in the temple of the Holy Spirit, they reject the Lord's authority. Because his word is the authority, his authority over our lives. And if you reject what the Lord is telling you to not to destroy the temple of the Holy Spirit, you are rejecting his authority. That's what these people did. back in Sodom and Gomorrah. They rejected the Lord's authority and his authority and his words. And him saying, don't do this, don't do that, his commandment again. And that's what they did. They reject the Lord and insult his glory. Now, how do they insult his glory? My brother and sister, his presence, his spirit, his power, his change. My brother and sister, you know, his glory brings change. And we see it throughout the Bible. So how can they insult his glory? They're rejecting what he's doing in their lives. We can't do that. And these were the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? The Lord wanted to change them, make them into honest men, holy men, righteous men. No, they rejected that. Okay? And the Bible said about the generation that called good evil and evil good. That's what they did. The good things of the Lord, they called it evil. Oh, that religion again. Oh, no, I'm not into that. Keep that away from me. See, they call good evil. And they rejected the Lord, his word, his salvation, my brother and sister, to embrace what they believe in their own mind, in their own thinking, that it was fine. They were justifying themselves in their own sin and their own evil. Because, of course, they were abusing one another. They were violating one another. They were gay. They were lesbian. They were doing all that, and they thought that life, that was the life they chose, and no one can tell them it was wrong. Sounds like in New York today or California, a different state, you cannot go to those gay and lesbian party and say what you're doing is wrong. Oh, you get out of here. We don't want you here. Go take your religion someone else, they say. Same attitude, same spirit as Sodom and Gomorrah. My brother and sister, same spirit, okay? The devil doesn't change his way. It works for him. He had kept entire generation. He had led them to hell, and he has them bound, and he torments them every day in hell. It works for him. He leads people to hell easily this way. My brother and sister, he convinced them that they're fine in their sin, that they don't need God, and easily they go to hell, and the devil celebrates it with his demon. It works for him. It just works. The generations of Noah, he took them down to hell easily. Generations of Lot, he took them down to hell easily. And it works. And now he's convincing this generation now that do what you like. It's all about what you want. You don't need to be seeking God. You don't need to be praying. You don't need to be repenting. So he can easily lead them to hell again. That's why part of his name is Destruction, the Destroyer. My brother and sister, because he destroyed humanity so easy. And so when the Archangel Michael argued with the devil, they were arguing with the body of Moses. The devil doesn't want to lose one. God, Jesus, doesn't want to lose one. The devil neither wants to lose one. Out of all that generation of people that were still alive, the devil was concerned for one single body, the body of Moses. Okay? Moses was already in heaven. His soul was not there. The devil hated the fact that he lost Moses' soul. But he had a plan for his body. He had an agenda put together for Moses' body. Okay? And Michael was in charge of protecting Moses' body. The devil came over to Michael to argue with him. I need that body. I want that body. And Michael says to him, no, Satan, that body now belongs to God. I'm not letting you take over this body, Satan. And the devil began this argument. My brother and sister, Asa, like on television, the debate between Republicans and Democrats, my brother and sister, the devil made the issue a politics. Notice that happening that today? He changes into politics, the debate, as politics. with Michael, my brother and sister. Okay, I don't know which of the two was Democrat between Satan and Michael. I believe Satan was Democrat in this politic debate that they had, my brother and sister. But Michael had enough and called the Lord upon Satan and said, Satan, may the Lord rebuke thee. Okay, I'm not going to have this politics debate with you, devil. Okay, I'm not going to make this a politics argument here. You get out of here, devil. I'm here. I'm in charge to protect this body. I'm not dealing with you. I'm calling the Lord upon your life. And that was the end of that. The devil ran out of that. He ran out of there, my brother and sister. Okay? So if you have any problem with any politician, call the Lord. Okay? If they want to make your issue a politic issue, call the Lord. Just call the Lord. And we can see already, mandate is a politic matter now. Okay? For you to be vaccinated. They want a mandate for you to be vaccinated. Well, we are like Michael, servant of the Lord. Let's call the Lord upon Biden. Let's call the Lord upon our president, our government, our leadership. Let's call the Lord and let's say to them, may the Lord rebuke thee, Biden. May the Lord rebuke thee, Obama. May the Lord rebuke you, Pelosi. May the Lord rebuke all those people in Washington in Jesus' name. May the Lord rebuke them, hallelujah, who want to make the vaccine mandate upon America in Jesus' name. May the Lord rebuke them. Let's say what Michael said together, my brother and sister. Say it, you are home too. May the Lord rebuke the people in Washington in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's not make this a politics. Let's not get into a debate with him or argument like the devil wanted to do with Michael. May the Lord rebuke him. Hallelujah. The Lord who's in charge of all. The Lord who's in control of all. May he rebuke them. Hallelujah, and take their argument away in Jesus' name. Our life is not a politics. Our soul given to us by God, by Jesus, is not a politics argument, my brother and sister. It's not for our leader in our nation to be playing politics with the soul of these people, of this generation. Our soul is not for sale. Our soul has been bought on the cross by Jesus Christ in his life. It's not for sale, my brother and sister. He doesn't have our soul for sale. And neither it is our body. Because there are demons lining up, waiting for us to be vaccinated so they can get our body. I heard someone talking about this today on the internet. There's demon waiting to get hold of our body. And the only way they can get it is when you are vaccinated with COVID-19 vaccine. They're lining up. They're waiting for you to take the vaccine so they can get hold of your body. My brother and sister, like when Satan wanted Moses' body, the devil wants your body. Oh, don't you give him your body. No. Your body was given to you by the Lord. Don't give on your body. Don't give the devil your body. Don't make this an argument with them. Don't you go the hours after hours on the phone or on the internet arguing with them about your body. No. Make the Lord rebuke you, Satan. My brother and sister, we need to stand on the truth and the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our body belongs to us, belongs to the Lord. Body, soul, and spirit we have given to Jesus. My brother and sister, no. Demon lining up to take people's body. Okay? And they have made this into a politics now. It's on television. It's a politics. Oh, I don't know why people... I'm not vaccinated. I'm losing my patience by this saying all the time. My brother and sister. Huh? They're looking to win in the next election. In order for them to win, they need to get more bodies. Because then the demon, they get the demon in those bodies and then they'll vote for Biden again. And they'll keep getting more body. Oh, no, my brother and sister. No, no, no. Don't you give on your body. Satan wanted the body of Moses, and now he wants yours. He wants your body and the demon lining up for you to take the bison so they can get hold of your body. Don't you volunteer to give on your body. No, no. Be like Michael. May the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Okay? They need a body. The problem with demons, sister was explaining, is that they need a body. They cannot go out without a body. Demon needs a body. You can look it up in the Bible. They need a body. And with the bison facilitates for them to get a body. It makes it easy for them to get a body. And the only way they're going to get humanity bodies is by humanity being vaccinated. And there's more billions of demons out there without a body than people. So they want to occupy and have their own body. See, their freedom is to get people's body. If they don't have a body, they're not free. They're just walking around sad looking for a body. And they're lining up for a body. And for people, for them to get those body, people need to be vaccinated, my brother and sister. The vaccine is like the oil to get the person's soul out of there and put the other demon in there. When I saw that abomination then doing so, I said, what an abomination it is. Because it truly is. The Lord showed me. It's a tremendous abomination. Taking a person's soul where the person is born to the mother and father and then finally have a body and the person is born and, you know. And then these demons lining up that because they want this body. And then deceiving people to be vaccinated to get a body. I should probably title this message, Don't Give the Devil Your Body. Because how the Michael did not give Moses' body to the devil. He was willing to fight for that body. Because Michael knows what the devil will do with one body. You imagine? Everything Moses preached, everything Moses did, he was going to undo. Everything Moses did, said, he was going to contradict. Bring confusion upon the people. And then people say, what is he talking about? Now, he first said for us to keep the commandment. Now he said it's okay if you don't keep it. You know, contradict it. Contradict the second. Contradict the message. Especially the people that were committed to God through Moses' message. You see? My brother and sister, that's what the devil does. He brings confusion. He brings division. He brings argument, debate. That's what he brings. My brother and sister. But Michael didn't dare to hand down a judgment against the devil. Instead, Michael said, may the Lord reprint you. Whatever these people don't understand, they insult like animals, which are creatures in instinct. They use whatever they know to destroy themselves. How horrible will we fold them? They have followed the power of Cain. They have rushed into Baal and error to make profit. The Bible said that they want to make a profit. Sounds like selling a lot of vaccine to make a profit. Sounds like Moderna and Pfizer making now billions because of the vaccine. And people are celebrating the profit that they're making. They're killing humanity with the vaccine. And all they want is to make a profit. My Lord, my God. Even that is in the Bible. They rush into Baal and error to make the profit. My brother and sister, Baal, you know what's the error of Baal? They sacrifice baby to Baal. They sacrifice life to Baal. My brother and sister, and look what God said that they did it for, to make a profit, to make money. To make money. The more people that get vaccinated, the more money they make. It is all for profit. They say, follow the vaccine and you'll find what the money is. Follow the money, they also say. It was all for profit. They don't care for anyone's lives. It's all for profit. It's all to make money. That's even in the Bible. That's what Baal did. And the Bible said that they have rushed into Baal and error to make a profit. It's the same spirit that been around for thousands of years, my brother and sister. Yes, like the guy on the new airplane, the evil expression on his face possessed. Yes, thank you. It's all to make profit. It's all to make money. They don't care about the people. They don't care about their soul or suffering, my brother and sister. All they care is the money they are making. My Lord, everything in his word. Verse 12. These people are a disgrace as a special being you share with other believers. They eat with you and don't feel ashamed. They are shepherds who are called only for themselves. They are dry cloud blown around by wind, and they are withered, uprooted tree without any fruit. As a result, they have died twice. How do you die twice? Shepherd, the preacher, pastors, leaders. And the Bible said they're dead twice. I know that some of them, the Lord showed them to me in the Great Tribulation. Oh, and the Lord made sure they're going to suffer. He's going to make sure they suffer in the Great Tribulation. They're dying twice. They're dead spiritually. They're dead through the by seeing. My brother and sister. They take the mark of the beast because they want to be first. And they want to be an example to the people. My brother and sister. They're dead twice, the Bible says. This is horrible. Horrible. Father said one time to Brother Larry, they will never enter into my kingdom. How can they be an example of taking the by seeing to the people? They led people to Christ. Now they're leading people to death. How is that? Profit. Money. The root of all evil is money. My brother and sister. The foundation of money is evil, in another word. That's the foundation of those that love money. The root of all evil. My brother and sister. All the evil comes out of that love that they have for money. All the evil are making sure not even children get vaccinated. They were down to 12 years of age. Now they're pushing it to go down to 5 years of age. In Cuba, they already began to vaccinate from 2 years of age and up. They keep going down in age, my brother and sister. They want to reach down to our little one to vaccinate them. It is terrible what's happening on this earth. Okay? Terrible. They're evil. I don't even want to see when they begin to vaccinate the little ones. I hope the Lord takes them before they do. Before they go down to 5, I truly hope the Lord will rapture these babies. My brother and sister, I truly hope. I know the rapture is so close. I really hope he takes them. Because I remember him giving me a rapture, showing me the rapture, and my children were raptured first, I remember. Okay? They were raptured. Children were raptured, and I saw the rapture of the hallelujah. My brother, thank you for that, Brother Matthew. But those who should offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it was better for him that a millstone would hang about his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. That's it. That they're drowned in the depth of the sea. That would be better for them. They make one of the Lord's little ones fall. And now they're pointing it down all the way down to 5 and up. They want to vaccinate all of them too. My brother and sister is so horrible. Horrible. Okay? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrow. My brother and sister, pierced themselves. Okay? It is terrible, them following the money, and then those poor souls my brother and sister, find himself in so much trouble. Okay? But the Lord can get him out of there. The Lord can save him. We know that. But it's terrible, terrible, my brother and sister. Jesus said that the Pharisee made the people twice son of hell. That's incredible. Twice son of hell. And these are dead twice. Another confirmation for what Jesus said. Dead twice, twice son of hell, dead twice. My Lord. The horrible things they're doing. Because they're twice because they die and then their soul put in the hand of death, the kingdom of death. They're dead twice, my brother and sister. And as he took me to hell to see it, I was disgusted and crying at the same time. The people bodies are walking up here with a demon and the original soul when they got vaccinated, they are down there walking, wandering, demon. Showing them vanities, confusion, like dream. It's all fake, my brother and sister. And when they saw me, they can, Brother Elvi, Elvi. And I was like, wow, people that I knew, fascinated, they're so in hell, my brother and sisters, real. Okay, they want to start vaccinating the little ones by Thanksgiving. It's terrible. That's terrible. Terrible. I know that they've been moving on that. When they mentioned that, I said, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And we know that judgment is about to come. That with God, oh, man. Oh, man. I think this is the line that they're passing, the invisible line. We mentioned that when they do, my brother and sister, he showed me this past week that when China invaded this country, you see the confirmation today on the news, my brother and sister. One of the Pentagon today quit it in the United States because he learned that China has surpassed the United States in their intelligence, AI, artificial intelligence. And I guess he wanted to tell these people, warn these people, and they wanted him to be quiet about it. Imagine Obama, you better be quiet about this. Don't tell the people. They want to bring destruction on the people. So the Lord showed me, I've been telling you that for years now. They want destruction to come upon this nation. And they're knowing that China has surpassed with the missile of everything they have. To them, that's music to their ears. Because what the COVID-19 did not do, the destruction from China is going to bring it. And that's what they're provoking China. They got submarine carrier next to their borders, provoking them. Every day provoking them. Because they think that if they can't eliminate at least 90% of these 300 plus million people that are here, they're going to be better off. There will be no more problem with food supply, problem with Medicare, problem with enough water, enough air, enough food, enough money. They think that they have all the gold, they have all the money, if more than 90% of the people are eliminated, and if they're only down to maybe less than a million people, it's all going to be great for them. They'll be wealthy. And, they'd totally be better off, they think. Their agenda is evil and wicked, my brother and sister. That's what they think. But our God, who's in control, he has a better plan for the people. Save them. His plan is salvation, my brother and sister. To save as much as he can. Look how merciful he is. The church should have been in heaven already. No, he's still using the last second of the last second to bring them in. Because when the great tribulation begins, my brother and sister, it's another story. Grace end, great tribulation begin, and the only way it will be heading, the only way is to be heading to come in. my brother and sister. People will be praying the cross, praying for one another, praying for grace. The only way is beheading after that. The only way. Oh, they'll get together. No, no, we're going to rebuke this. Let's rebuke the Antichrist. Let's rebuke this. And still things are getting worse and bad and hurricane, tornadoes and destruction and judgment and earthquake nonstop. And they're praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. They're going to learn they better pray that they repent more and that they can run faster from the demon, that the Lord will protect them from them, because it's going to be terrible, terrible down here, like they cannot imagine. The church whom the Lord is using in the last day, my brother and sister, he that will withhold it will we remove out of the way, my brother and sister. The Lord is in control. The Lord is in charge. Once Father said, I want my children up here. Now, now it happens now. Sound the shofar. They'll sound the trumpet. And the church disappear. The church is changing transform. And that's the end of that. Church goes into celebration and the supper of the Lord, and it's just enjoying everything up there. The rest of humanity is running for their lives. My brother and sister, million dropping every hour here, every day. Death, their body everywhere. My brother and sister. I hope we before we are raptured, we don't see this war with China in the United States. It looks like we may see it, but I hope we're not going to see it. I agree with some of the people. We just want to go home. We just want to go home. If we have to see this war with China, it's going to be terrible. I saw and I was there. The Lord made my body of the bullet cannot kill me. The bullet did came straight to me, but they could not do me harm. The Lord was protecting me, my brother and sister. But at the same time, are we going to see it? Maybe not. Hope not. Hope we don't see it. But you can see right now they're provoking China with everything they can. It's like slapping their face, turning their face around, slapping it again. Are you going to attack us or what? Provoking them to come and attack us. You know that this is evil. You know it is. You can watch international news and see it. They're provoking them. Provoking them to attack us. Why are they so eager in them attacking us? Because they know their agenda is to eliminate so many people, remove so much population, and they'll have no problem with food supply and money and so much other. My brother and sister. But it's all when God says so. Their plan is not God's plan. It's when God says so. Yes, God is bringing judgment. And even in between the judgment God is bringing, there will be people repenting when they see the judgment and coming to the Lord. This is the great thing about all this, that even as Job said, will we receive the good and not the evil? So even when God allows these things to come, it is for small soul to be saved. Father's love. Father's love. Of course he get angry because of sin and disobedience. And he'll bring his judgment and many will die. As it happened in the wilderness, as the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. And one side, he's saving them. And another side, he had to destroy some of them. That's an example, the Bible says. Allow them to be destroyed by their own wickedness and evil. The earth opened up and swallowed them. The Lord opened up the earth and the earth swallowed them. They went straight to hell. And the people that saw that said, oh, my Lord, deliver me. I repent no more, Lord. Okay, walk straight now. Holiness and righteousness with the Lord now. My brother and sister, it is to get people straight. So wake up the sleeping church. Judgment, that's what it does. And they'll get millions. I remember when the Lord showed me up in Massachusetts one time. He brought this judgment upon the United States, a mighty tsunami, eastern tsunami. Man, I saw people on the street all over Massachusetts, on the street, kneeling down, repenting before God. I never seen this in my whole life. Thousands of people, every way I looked, underneath, before the lamb, next to the car, in the street, everywhere, looking out to heaven, repenting, crying out to God. I'm sorry, we're so sorry. We should have repented. We should have been looking for you. My Lord, my God. My brother and sister. And the Lord spoke to me, remember, and said that through this judgment, they will repent. Hallelujah. They will repent. It's a way from him to bring people on their knees. Because right now, it's not happening. He's speaking to them. Oh, they're not listening. They're going on. And they're asking for the vaccine. They're making an appointment for the vaccine. They're not listening. The side of the part is that in the moment they're vaccinated and their soul is being moved out of their body. What are you taking me? Leave me alone. No, no, I want to go back to my body. The demon said, no, you're coming with us. I saw the straight face of the demon. No, I want to get back to my body. That's my body. You're coming with us. Be quiet. And they take them down. They put a demon in their body. And that demon imitates the person to the letter. To the letter. Cause you my brother, a demon calling you your brother, my sister, and all that. When are you going to church, sister? When are we getting together, sister? A demon calling your sister. A demon that had not been on earth for thousands of years, been in the pit of hell, coming into a body, calling your sister and brother. Oh, my Lord. This is terrible out here. Terrible. Terrible. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devil. The scholars, the teachers, these people that spend all their lives studying the words, have found a way to explain this. It's not what it said, what it means. They want to give it an explanation. How can God say that in the last day, end of day, as people will depart from the faith, which is happening now, that the reason why or what they will be doing was giving heed, listening to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. Devil teaching doctrines, he says. Devils. But how can you call a nice teacher, a nice man, or a nice woman a devil? How dare you offend my apostle, my leader, and call him a devil? Paul says that they're devils. God says that they're devils. And that people will be listening to them. And at the same time, seducing spirit, seducing them. Listen to them. Listen to them. Oh, yeah, what he's saying? He goes, he's telling you not to pray. What are you praying for? Telling you not to fast. What are you fasting for? Seducing them. Oh, it's okay if brothers if brother so-and-so wants to marry brother so-and-so, it's okay. You know, it's all in love. Let it happen. Let them marry them. Marry them. Go ahead. You have the license. Marry them. Seducing spirit. My brother and sister, they're being seduced to do evil. They're being seduced to marry a woman with a woman or a man with a man and give them a license. Okay? God calls this doctrine of devils. So it's not only one at work doing this. There are many of them doing this. Some in the United States, some in Canada, some in Europe, some in all these different countries. They're all speaking the same language. Their doctrine is a devil. Oh, it's okay, sister. If this is your third abortion, you know, God understand. God knows, you know. God knows you're weak and you know, you have to do it. Your financial situation is not that good. Your job is not paying you as much. You just have a small apartment. Doctrine of devils. My brother and sister. You know? Nobody can condemn you. If God forgives you, nobody can condemn you. It's only your third abortion. And he understands if you have to have a fourth or a fifth, you know, it's okay. Doctrine of devils. Killing innocent babies. My brother and sister, if this young lady cannot support this baby, someone can adopt that baby. There are family, well family, loving family that will have that baby. Before I came out of Massachusetts, clinics, mobile clinics of abortion, mobile clinics. And there was one up in Methuen. I believe it's still there. I think it goes once a week there or twice a week. I can't remember now. Mobile clinics, hundreds of young ladies lining up to have an abortion. Hundreds. And the paperwork to be filled, it just sign here, go in. Okay, simple. A quick abortion. They come out of there quickly. And the next, 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 and the next. That becomes a curse for the nation, my brother and sister. A curse. Someone went on the radio and talked about this. They attacked this man terribly, terribly, for talking about what they're doing, my brother and sister, because it's not normal. How can a human being behave this way? Killing innocent baby and lighting up and doing it hundreds early in the morning, hundreds of them lighting up to have an abortion. My brother and sister, terrible. And the man mentioned that some of them were minors. They needed their parents' approval. I don't know how they got away with that. My brother and sister, okay? I don't know how they got away with having minors sign up these paperwork to have an abortion. But they did. It happened. And this man talked about it on the radio. They came at him severely. My brother and sister, I knew that once the state was doing that, it was going down. State of Massachusetts is just going down economically, everything. Terrible. Evil state to live in. My brother and sister, this is not supposed to be happening. But abortions are practically now in every hospital, almost in every state. I don't know if there's a state, what, I don't know if there is one state out of the 50 states that don't perform abortion. It might be Texas, might be that state. But I know that some hospital may choose to. But I don't know if the entire state of Texas can, you know, block abortion. But abortion has been on the table for years, the United States and around the world, my brother and sister. And I know a lot of countries criticize India because a lot of the mothers in India, instead of having an abortion, they went and dropped off their babies in the garbage where people can go and pick them up, my brother and sister. In India, they'll drop them off. And I know China, being all the evil that they were performing abortion for a while, and they changed that to my brother and sister. We criticize other nations for how they do with people or how strict they are, but then we go and perform abortion here. We need to be careful. We need to be very careful, my brother and sister. Because it's just an abomination before God. It brings his judgment. Those babies cry out to God. He hears their cry. What do you think he's going to do? That's why this nation is under judgment. I know a lot of people have disagreed with me on this. It's under judgment. God has told me so. He's bringing judgment on this nation. It's under judgment. And I'm going to keep saying it because I know the greater earthquake that we have not seen, it might be in hundreds of years, is coming to the U.S. And it is so close. It is so close. It's like smelling it before it comes in the air. Like smelling the earthquake in the air before it hits. because it's going to hit this nation. I saw the destruction it's going to cause in North Carolina alone. Not only in Texas, but the eastern part of the United States, the whole country, God said to me one time, he's going to shake severely. Many great loss of life is coming. Great loss of life. One of these days, people are going to contact me and say, Brother Elvis, do you know or do you knew that we were going to lose so many life as we just had lost in the United States? And I'm going to say, I knew this for years. It's been his mercy for years. It's been his mercy. But when this earthquake, and I'm not just talking about the one in California, that's going to severely destroy California. I'm telling you about the one that follows afterward, like the one that's going to hit Chicago, USA. It's going to get destroyed, destroyed like I never seen before, by a powerful earthquake. People in Chicago, Christian in Chicago, needs to be on their knees. They need to be asking the Lord, Lord, where do you want me before this judgment? Because this judgment to Chicago is going to be severe, like the judgment to Florida. It's going to be severe, my brother and sister. Severe judgment to Florida. The state is not going to make it. Like Chicago is not going to make it. New York, all the eastern part is not going to make it. California is not going to make it, neither. These states will be disabled completely. You cannot restore. If you say, let's restore power, for what? Most of the buildings are damaged. You got a high percentage, close to 100%. Of the building destroyed. Why are you going to restore power for? You want people to live in a building that are going to fall on top of them while they're sleeping? Whoever stays alive, whoever remains alive. I saw people with their bag on their back walking away from their state that was severely destroyed. And what they were saying, there's nothing left in our state. There's no building, there's no house where we can go to. Useful, left behind. They're walking. I saw people walking for free up here to North Carolina, to the mountain where we are. Because Raleigh, North Carolina will be destroyed. Charlotte, North Carolina will be destroyed. The only small city where we are, Asheville, North Carolina, is practically preserved for a purpose. The Lord will do so. But the rest of the state is gone. We are going to be without power up here. And I began yesterday and today to set up my solar system here myself nonstop for 2 days. Why? Because the judgment is so close. When this year began, God began to talk to me about the judgment. Okay? My brother and sister. And I tell you, the destruction in California and other states will follow. Severe destruction. I saw people just moving. They had less damage. My brother and sister, with their bag on their back, some clothing on their back, and that was walking. Major highways destroyed. My brother and sister, you cannot get a ride in a car. Some people I saw thinking that they can get on the car and travel to other state, and when they try, some of them fail on huge crack on the highways and injure themselves, and you can hear some of them calling for help. Help me. Please, someone help me. Calm down, King, help me. You need a special truck to pull people out of those certain cracks on the road. They're 40, 30 feet below. And you need a tow truck and a hitch to get people out of there. And if you don't have that, you can't get them out. You know, and I saw some people helping others to climb up as they could. But they were injured, broken leg, broken arm. And then hospital were damaged. You can't say, oh, let's take you to the hospital or the near hospital. Hospitals are practically three, 400 miles away. And whatever hospital is working is full. So if you got a broken leg, good luck with that. You have to work on it yourself. You have to wrap it around, put a stick, wrap it around, and walk as you can and take painkiller. That's the future of this land, my brother and sister. That's the future of the world without Christ. That's the near future the Lord has shown me. Emergency everywhere. No power. People are wondering after weeks and months with no power, when are they going to get any power from the city? And the debate with the city is we have no money. We're waiting for the government to give us money. And the government is, with so many state damage, we can't give no money. My brother and sister, and it's a mess. It is a mess. I heard in one occasion the government telling the state to provide emergency money for the people, and the state government and mayor and all that was saying, we have no money. We need the government to help us. Our immediate fund is to keep our state running if we could, or anything running, mostly emergency supply. Emergency vehicle, whatever they can. FEMA will go broke. FEMA will go broke. And then everyone is, where is the money? How do we help people? There's too many billions and trillions destroyed. How do we choose which state to save or restore? It will take hundreds of years to restore everything back, practically. They notice. My brother and sister. So states are without power. That's it. That's it for them. Especially when nuclear waste, nuclear plant leaking. Remember what happened in Japan? The disease and sickness? So the warning to certain places in certain states, get out. Get out. Because there's nuclear leaks. And the air and the water. Don't drink the water. Don't take anything out of your state. Leave. Forget what you lost. Leave immediately. And there will be checkpoints in certain states. If you come from a state that had a nuclear leaks, they might just throw you, like the Lord showed me on another occasion, they were throwing people like in FEMA camps. And it was part just to keep those people there because they believed with the nuclear waste they were contaminated. And now they were not allowed to go in other states. And this is how they dealt with these people. They were still alive but sick. People coughing their lungs out practically. Bleeding, broken leg, broken arm, injured. But they didn't want to help those people right away because they were contaminated with nuclear waste. It was a serious matter. And I saw people really getting angry at the army. And they were just shooting those people. Shooting them dead. That's it. And I'm like, how can they treat people? Because now there's a panic. There's too much contamination. They don't want to get contaminated with people who've been around these nuclear plant, which are usually people in these mansions and people are close to the sea where the nuclear plants are in the coast of North Carolina and different states. and there's a leak, nobody wants to deal with them, with those people. So they got secluded. They were separated and not allowed to come into any other state. Forbid it. The army was keeping them away. A gunpoint. They had their guns to these people's head. If you try to come near, we'll shoot you. We have orders to shoot you. And I saw when they opened fire on a group of men and women and shot them. Their own American brother and sister, they shot them right there dead. I was, when the Army received orders, you know how it is. The Marine received order. They will execute those orders. That's what they're trained for, my brother and sister. Okay? And I was there seeing all this, the Lord showing it to me. I was stunned. It hurts you just to see these people being killed because they're afraid of them contaminating them all. You know? Terrible. Terrible situation. And I'm not saying this to put fear in you, but yes, for you to be ready. And if it brings the fear of God in your life, yes. Yes. What God keeps saying, telling us through his prophet, for his people to repent and be ready with him, he'll keep us and protect us. Yes, he will. He will keep his. The rest, oh man, they're on their own, suffering. My brother and sister, lack of food, lack of everything. The Lord to his own, I tell you, to us, his own, provision is there. My brother and sister. That's why I was so happy the other day when he showed me that he sent me with a group to the Great Tribulation, people where people were going hungry and all that, and we will pray for food, and food was there immediately. Miraculous, the food just appeared. Clothing. Some of the brothers and sisters, they say, oh, no, we have also clothing for you. And I'm looking around, what are they talking about? They have clothing for you. And they say, hold hand and let's pray. And they pray, and all of a sudden, their hand was full of clothing. These people sight the clothing that they need. And I saw the faces of the people. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, and we were saying, no, thank the Lord, this is a miracle upon his people. These are his promise. He will provide to us according to his riches and glory. So food and clothing right there were appearing as we pray for the people. I was stunned because the part of the clothing I didn't know. I knew about the part of the food when we pray, but not the part of the clothing. And when I saw it, I'm like, whoa, he's going to supply our need. And the people need. This is why he's calling us to repent and seek him and trust him and commit our life to him, because he has a plan. God has a plan. He always has a plan for his people. He had a plan for the children of Israel when they went into the wilderness. Their clothing did not age. Their shoes did not age, my brother and sister. Their clothing was like being in heaven. It's every day like new, my brother and sister. And whatever they asked Moses for, Moses prayed and God provided it. He even gave them angelic bread, my brother and sister. This special bread in heaven is only made for the angels. God is so merciful with the people that he gave them angelic bread, my brother and sister. I seen this bread in heaven. It's the most pure, uncontaminated bread I ever seen, provided for the children of Israel when they asked for food. My brother and sister, he provided them meat until they got tired of eating meat. Everything they asked God, what God did not like about the children of Israel is the way they asked, they murmur. Because he said, ask and thou shalt receive. He didn't say, murmur and then ask and thou shalt receive. The children of Israel, they murmur, they complain, and then they ask. And that's not the attitude God wanted them to have. Because that's not an attitude to gratitude. The attitude to gratitude is the attitude that Jesus had. Thank you, Father. I know that you always hear me. Thank you, Father. Before he prayed, for food for 5,000 people. He raised the bread and fish and thanked God. That is an attitude to gratitude. See what I'm saying? That's an attitude to gratitude. You thank him first. I thank you, Father, because you always hear me. And bless the fish and the food, and there was enough for 5,000 plus people. My brother and sister, that's the same way he wanted to do it in the wilderness. Supply their need according to his riches and glory. But their attitude was not toward gratitude. It was toward complaining and murmuring, which is true sin that God don't want among his people. When you murmur, you don't pray. When you complain, you don't pray. Pray is you talking to God, acknowledging his greatness, and praising him for his goodness, my brother and sister. But when you murmur, you're not praising God. You're not talking to God. You're talking to yourself. You're being prideful, my brother and sister. When you complain, you're being prideful. It's about you, what you want. But when you praise him, you are acknowledging his greatness and power. My brothers, that he is our God. When you talk to him, you are depending on him. You are humbling yourself when you pray. My brother and sister, when you ask means you're depending on him. Hallelujah. Jesus said that for us not to worry for what to eat or what to wear, because our Father who's in heaven knows that we have need of these things. Doesn't he feed the birds on the air or the grass that today is and tomorrow be thrown into an oven? He says, how much your Father in heaven will take care of you and your need? He's going to take care of us. Our need are before him every day. My brother and sister. But when you come to him with an attitude of gratitude, you're thanking him and you're praising him for being your supplier. My brother and sister, when he does supplies, you will be full of joy and you will be thanking him and praising him. And you go on with your life. Yes, there come a moment in our life that we say, wow, what's going on? Why is this not happening? But then what we do what Jesus did in Isaiah 53. He opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. He kept quiet. Be still and know that I am God. He kept quiet. He kept quiet, my brother and sister, because he knew Father have a plan. And he was going to see the unfolding of God's plan. You and I, God has a plan for us. And we are going to see the unfolding of his plan. My brother and sister, the Lord spoke to me a few days ago and says to me, loud with a loud voice, that he is going to bless us. That everything that has been stolen for us, he's going to restore for us. Again, thank you, Lord. Everything our enemy has stolen, he's going to restore to us. My brother and sister, Jesus acknowledged that the Father who's in control was going to provide everything that we need according to his riches and glory. He remained quiet. He went to the cross and died. And what happened? He was resurrected under the power of God, the Bible says. And he gave witness for 40 days and was raised to glory. And he was set at the right hand of glory, the right hand of God. Until this day, God made the promise he would do so for him. And until this day, he's been sitting there in that seat of glory, reigning with Father forever and ever. God made a promise, and God fulfilled his promise. Listen to these prophecies.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Shalom, believers in the Lord. This is Sister Grace. I'm here this morning with a warning to God's remnant, to God's children. Before we go through the warning, I would like to pray and then read a scripture by the grace of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. Father, I praise you. I worship you, Lord. Father, I present this message into your hands. I pray, Lord, that it will get to those you want them to get to. I ask you for your mercy, Lord, upon me if I will add or subtract. I pray, God, that your blood will cover me this moment. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have time, brothers and sisters, you can read Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning from verse 17 downward. So 17 says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word out my mouth and give them warning for me. So you can continue the reading by the grace of God. I'm here with the warning for God's children. Please, I urge you, if you don't understand anything about the revelation that I've shared previously or the one I'm about to share right now, pray about it. Ask God to conform. Ask God to direct you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as you can see, I literally just woke up from sleep and I wanted to go back to sleep and then come back later on and do this message. But by the grace of God, I'm going to do it now and just get that kilo off my head. So in this revelation or slash dream, it was me and some couple of sisters in the dream. Couple of sisters and brother, I believe. We were in this gathering. Perhaps we were praying or doing something. And then suddenly people started to put their names down. And people were willingly going to get themselves to get the gem, the abomination. I cannot call the name because my video will be taken down and I will have a strike on my YouTube. So people were like running, going, willingly taking the gem, taking the abomination. So when it got to us, we were like, no, we're not going to take that. So what happened immediately, we were in this room, you know, praying or doing something, and there were people that were among us, but they were hiding. And this particular lady, when I was getting ready to exit the building, she had all the equipment to inject people. And when I was getting ready to come back to the building, it's like the Lord opened my eyes to see her plan. She had the thing stacked up in her and she was decently dressed. But she had this tube, the syringe that they used to do that. And the moment I was getting ready to come back in, she poured the syringe out with it was already prepared. So she doesn't have to take the bottle and then do all that. It was already prepared. It was already set. So all she needed to do was to just take it off her clothes and boom, take it off the clothes and boom, that's how she was doing, you know, in the revelation. So when she got to me and then she poured it out, I was like, blood of Jesus. So I couldn't go back in the building, because if I were to go back, she would have inject me. So I was like, no, I'm not going back in that building. And she started to pursue me. When she started to pursue me, and I started calling the name of Jesus, and I found myself flying, and that's how I was able to escape that lady that wanted to give me the abomination. Brothers and sisters, the Lord, and before that, thank you, Jesus, the Lord just reminded me in the revelation The voice spoke within my inner self and said, I have warned my people to flee into hiding. He said, I've given lots of warning for them to flee, but they have refused to flee. They have refused to leave, and they are stuck. And once they are stuck, they will have no option. The people will come after them, and they are going to inject them by force, and they will have their own self to blame. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has warned us countless times. He has warned his children to flee to the mountains. He has warned his children to leave the city. I'm telling you, they are going to come after you. They are going to come after your children. You will not be able to escape. The fact that I called the name of Jesus and I was able to fly, it's not going to happen in real life. It was not happen in our world, because you're going to have 3 to 4 or 5 people coming on your one. They will trap you on the ground, put a chain on your head, and you are going to be forced. It's going to be a false thing that will force you to take. Brothers and sisters, flee the cities. Go to where God wants you to go now. He said he has warned his people, and people are not listening, and you will be trapped. You will be trapped. When you go to the church, they are going to force you and lock you down to take it. When you go to the store, they are going to come after you, brothers and sisters, run for your life. The Lord has warned his people countless times. There is a full shortage coming. A full shortage coming. You will not be able to buy. You will not be able to sell. You will not be able to travel. You will not be able to go to church. And some of these things are happening now. Why are God's people so disobedient? Why is your heart so hardened? Why have you become a people of stiff neck? Why have you refused to hear the voice of God? Brothers and sisters, if you refuse to hear the voice of God, you will be trapped. And when you be trapped, when you take that stuff, your eternity is doomed. You are doomed forever. I'm not going to be very calm with my voice right now. Because imagine the Lord has warned his people and they are not listening. You people are not listening. You feel that America, UK, Australia, and all this Western world, they are the paradise that God has given to you. And so you don't want to leave. They will come after you. Yes, I'm angry. I'm angry because souls are dying and ending up in hell every day. Souls are dying and ending up in hell while you are still there sending money, 2 pieces of check. You're going to take money over your eternity. You're going to take money over your soul. The Lord has warned his people enough. And I've come yet again. I don't care how many persecutions I get. I must speak the mind of God, because I don't want nobody blood stain on my hands. The Lord said he has warned his people enough. They are going to come after you. I'm telling you. They will come after you. You will not be able to escape them. You will not be able to escape them. Take the warning now and leave. Leave, run for your life. Take your children into a hiding place. The Lord has warned, he has warned. But people are not listening. They are not doing what God wants them to do. They are still stuck to the lust of this world. They are still stuck with the things of this world. They are still stuck with the pleasure of this world. Don't you know that God and woman cannot go together? It's either you choose God or you choose the devil. And I've come to tell you, if you choose the devil, your end will be doomed. You will be in hellfire. You will be tormented day and night. The Lord has warned his people. I'm not going to cry this time around. I'm not going to cry. People are telling me not to be calm with my voice. Why would I be calm with my voice when the Lord Jesus Christ is crying over his people because they are disobeying him? And you want me to be quiet? You want me to be silent? You want me to speak in a calm, still voice? No, I cannot. Because the Lord is angry with his people. He just get out. Run for your life. If you have money in the bank account, you better go and take it now, like now. The Lord has warned his people enough. I have warned by the grace of God. Every message the Lord has given to me concerning this abomination and satanic thing they are doing in our world today that has changed the whole world, that the world will never become normal until Jesus Christ comes. I have been threatening People have said all manner of things against me, but I don't care. I'm only pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to please men. The Lord has spoken. He said, once have I spoken, twice have I heard. God has spoken. When the day comes, you will not be able to escape. You will not be able to escape. For those of you that think that the presence of God is still in these mega churches, those bishops and apostles and CEOs that you have, they are going to trap you and force you. Don't you see what's going on? Get up. Fight for your soul. Fight for your eternity. Come to Jesus now. For those of you that are still lukewarm, you are sitting there. And you are waiting for your GO to pray for you, to give you the next prophetic word. Jesus Christ is coming. The time we are living is time to prepare your household. It's time to put your life together. The Lord is coming. He's coming for a prepared people. As the Spirit of God is leading me this morning, my soul and my spirit is so angry. I was trapped. We thought that where we were safe enough in that building. But we were not safe. They were right among us. And there are some people that are with us on the... Brothers and sisters, run for your life. Run for your life. It's either Jesus Christ or the devil. Do not take the abomination. If you take the abomination, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. No matter how hard you pray, no matter how hard you fast, mercy will not locate you. You are doomed forever. That was what the Lord told me. And I'm here to repeat that. If you are taking that gem, you have already denied the Lord Jesus Christ. How? Peter denied God, but the Lord told him, Peter, the crook will not crow twice, and you will deny me, and it happened. Brothers and sisters, men have already denied the Lord by their ways. So taking their abomination.
Praise the Lord, everyone, and welcome to the God Tiller 7th End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for once more just stopping into a servant's heart. I am here today to give you some words and a vision that I had, actually an open vision, and also to speak a little bit more than I did the last time in the last video. I am coming on here just as the Lord directs me, and so today is October the 12th of 2021. It seems like the month is, again, is going by. I want to first ask the Lord to bless this channel, to bless over everything that is said, that each person's heart would be open to go to the Spirit and to reach out and test the spirits and ask the Spirit if all of this is true. And that all words spoken are not from me, but from Him. In Jesus' name. All right. I'm going to share with you just something that another brother and his wife actually had sent me, and I'm going to read it to you. I asked them if it would be all right. I asked this brother if it'd be okay to share. I'm not going to share the name or anything like that, but I believe that it ties in very well, or at least it goes along with the same lines with what I had spoken in my last video. If you've not watched it or if you missed it, please check back. It's the latest and the very last one I made a few days ago. This is what my brother was given. Be still and know I am God. Emphasized. Be still and know I am God. That's what I heard this morning. So he had gotten this a few days ago. It was in my spirit that humanity is way too noisy. Satan's plan is to amplify the great I, meaning I, me, myself. Take notice. Why are people fighting to be heard? Humanity is stumbling over each other, each trying to stand out. The affinity to be great, to make their mark, is reaching epic proportions like no time in history. False prophets are everywhere. Opinions are more important than truth. It is said each man's truth is his own. Lies are thicker than a swarm of bees. Books and social media promote self. Evil is good and good has become evil. Moral decay has become the theme song. Fathers are rare, replaced by authoritarian feminists. Down a family produces lost children. Religion and insincerity has all but replaced relationship and worship of the Most High God in spirit and in truth. Eyes, woo, hallelujah. Whoa, man, this is awesome. I'm getting it in my spirit. The passion, the fire is rising. Hallelujah. This is sinking in. Folks, I hope this is sinking in. Moral decay has become the theme song. Fathers are rare, replaced by authoritarian feminists. Are you hearing? The breakdown of family produces lost children. Religion and insincerity has all but replaced relationship and worship of the Most High God in spirit and truth. Eyes have been darkened so they no longer see. Mankind stumbles around in a blind stupor because they have forsaken their own conscience. Genders are confused and do not know who they are. Reprobate minds are in leadership positions from the top to the bottom in all branches of government. Murder is allowed while the trivial and petty is punished. Holiness and righteousness are mocked. Fair and just markets are all but dust, replaced by greed and manipulation. Integrity is as rare as precious stones. Conviction has been lost to double-mindedness. Conformity has replaced individualism and strength of character. Oh, Babylon! Babylon the Great has fallen. Has fallen. Brothers and sisters and folks out there, we are in the lateness of the hour. This pretty much brought a fire in me when I read it because it so much correlates along the lines of the last video that I made. This applies to all of us. There is way too much internet, Wi-Fi, cell phones, trying to find resources. And as I've always said, there must be a balance. A balance, a moderation. Yes, we like to research and we should. Yes, yes, yes. And we need to know and keep knowing whatever is going on to a certain extent. But now all we're hearing is opinions, news channels, trivia. Everyone having to have the last word or the last video or chaos because you don't agree with someone. And when the truth is in front of you, you still reject it. Many reject the truth. The truth is in front of them and they'll step in and take the lie. All I can say is may God help us. And now I'm going, and that is all I'm going to say. Listen to what the Spirit is saying in this hour. I am having some difficulties. Pardon me. I have had, oh my gosh, I'm not supposed to put this video up. Is that it? I've had a lot of difficulty today and a lot of attacks. I'm telling you, the spotlight is to be on Satan. The more that we walk into all these things, the more Satan is getting his. Yes, it is about me, myself, and I. Yes, as this word from the brother came, and a good word it is for all of us. Truth spoken. But more than that, Satan wants the spotlight on him. As much as we need to know, that's all. We just need to know as we need to know. And I think by now, we pretty much know a lot of things. So I'm going to also tell you now that the fallen angels are out here amongst us. They are walking amongst us. They are infiltrating and taking over humans right now as we speak. They are coming in to churches, ministries, families, schools, government, you name it. They are coming in as regular human beings because that's what they need, is a body. And many people are not recognizing that they are. And they can wreak havoc on anything, on families, on churches, on ministries, ongoing, and on it goes. There are certain things you need to be aware of also in regard to fallen angels. And there are certain things you need to do in regard to spiritual warfare. And I know right now that many are not doing spiritual warfare, have no idea how to do it. And the evil, they're here. They're around us, they're in us, and they're testing, and they're tricking, and they're enticing, and they're flattering. And in the end, the bottom line is everybody said, this is my brother and sister. They just want to help. Well, of course they want to help. That's how they get a foot in the door. We want to help. What is Christianity about? Helping one another. Helping others that are less fortunate. Help, help, help. What is the next thing they like? Flattery. Oh, it's wonderful. So great. You guys are wonderful. Oh, I know you like to help. This is great. So do I. Do you not realize that fallen angels will speak? Because Satan knows the Bible even better than we do. These fallen ones have been actually trained to know how to speak to sound good so that God's people can be deceived. And they're infiltrating all around, not just locally, but all around the world. They're infiltrating. And they try to come in through helps, through flattery, through money, through finances, whatever they can get, through time they want to give in with you, or whatever it may be. So I'm just warning. They are here. You need to know what kind of spiritual warfare you should be doing. If you're doing any at all, go to the Spirit of God. There's a lot at stake here. And again, I'm saying it is a spiritual battle. You see, one of the things that the Lord has shown me, and I've known this for quite a while, let me say here right now, I'm not saying I know everything or I've arrived, because I don't. But I am going to stay humble because I need to keep being moved forward, being taught, carrying on the things that come that God wants me to do. Oh, I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but I'm being attacked by something here. I don't know what it is, what's going on, but it's something all over. I'm sorry, folks. It's just, I am going to continue this. So anyway, I just want to give you a heads up. You know, there's so much out there going on, and the internet isn't it. We need to be getting in touch. Excuse me, we need to be getting in touch and in sync with the Spirit of God and the Lord himself, and finding out what it is he wants from us and finding out where we need to be. But I'm telling you, there's not a lot of discernment in the body of Christ. And I'm not telling you this from me. All that I'm telling you is coming from the Holy Spirit and what the Lord has told me to speak. There needs to be a lot of disciplining of the mind, the body. Our words that come out, we're so quick to type and write and everything. I have no idea even. And sometimes some of these things are going to come back and bounce back on you because they were of Satan. And some people are not even aware of demons. They're not aware of fallen ones that are attacking because they're not taught. So I'm just saying, one of the biggest things the Lord has told me, and I'm going to reiterate it here time and time again, be careful who you align with. Not everybody that says, I'm your brother, I'm your sister, I want to help, I think you're great, I've heard from the Lord, I want to be where you are so I can help. Stop it. Take a step back and say, really? Is this from you, Lord? Really? Are you looking at the fruit, or are you just saying, well, there's good in everybody, and so what? Everybody's my brother and my sister. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They're not. And I've learned that over the years. And I'm going to tell you something. Just something I've spoken over and over and over again. Just because something sounds spiritual, looks spiritual, Christianese, and has God's name attached to it does not necessarily mean God's in it. No discernment and no good will come of it, I will tell you that, because you reap what you sow. These are things I've had to go through, my husband and I ministered years ago, and we still want to make sure that we stay teachable, humble, and pass on the knowledge to teach others. I don't want to see somebody fall. Oh, hallelujah. All right. He wants me to get to the vision. That's enough. I'm not going to say anything more. You know who you are. You know who you are. All right. This is an open vision. Quickly. A quick flash vision. And I'm going to read it. I was sitting here thinking about nothing, basically, and then thinking about everything, thinking over things, just quietly observing. Wow. Wow. And while I was observing, I was traumatized, and I've since calmed down. Let me see if I've got some notes here. Oh, yes. 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 Praise God. Today, it's just been a wonderful day in spite of all the mishaps and attacks, but here it is. All of a sudden, and I was with my eyes open, and I know I was aware, but I was so like in the distance. I was in it. I was in this vision. And all of a sudden it opened up. And again, I've only seen this one other time. I've seen Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, in his full attire of glory. Ah, how beautiful. Oh, how beautiful. Righteous. Righteous. He was standing righteous next to a table with a book on it. Righteous he stood. Splendor. How else can I describe him? Garments so beautiful. His face standing out, rigored, righteous, holy, blameless. He stood with a sword by his side, his right side. And this is what he said. I am coming soon. Some will go home with me. Some will go into eternal torment. And as he then, standing by the table, he lifted up a big book, which is the Holy Bible. And he said that this is what he will be judging the people by. His holy word. His holy word. And then that was the end of the vision. And I'm going to tell you, I was mesmerized. I was like, it was just like, wow. It just came unexpectedly. And with all the things else going on, it came unexpectedly. And then the scripture came into my spirit, and I need to read this to you. God is so good that he lets us know. I'm going to read from the King James real quick. Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And I'm going to leave that for you to study on your own. You know, so many times we've been told to make sure we're vigilant about everything. But now the Lord is speaking another word. Observe. Be observant. That means step back. And instead of getting engrossed in everything in the world and what's going on, step back and be observant. Be quiet. Don't speak. Be silent for a change. And observe everything around you that's going on. Observe what the Spirit is saying in this hour. Be an observer. Be observant in all things. All right, saints, people of God, brothers and sisters, shalom, shalom. And until the next time, God bless you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me once again on my YouTube channel. Today is October the 12th of 2021. For us in Canada, we have just celebrated our Thanksgiving weekend, and we have much to be thankful for. We serve an awesome God who provides everything that we stand in need of. I'd like to share with you another message the Lord has put on my heart. Many of us are praying for revival. We know that this is the day of the bringing in of a harvest into the kingdom of God. And we know that the Lord will use us as his harvesters. And so he's called us to be a part of his plan to reach the nations in this day with the hope of the gospel message. He has equipped us with every spiritual gift that we need to minister to those coming into the kingdom of God in this hour. But along with spiritual needs that need to be met, there are physical needs as well. And I believe this is part of what is happening in this day, that the Lord will want to minister to the physical needs of those coming into his kingdom. The times we are living in are unsure, and we can't always depend on the world system to meet all of our needs. We need each other, and the Bible is clear that as Christians, we have a duty to minister to those in need physically, to help the poor. There may be food shortages in our lands in times of famine. I looked up the definition of the word famine, and the dictionary gave the definition of scarcity of food and food shortages. In the world we are living in today, famine is a possibility and a reality for a lot of people. As jobs are being lost and the economy shifting, there may be a very real scarcity coming. And we, as the people of God, are richly blessed of the Lord with an abundance to share with others. I hope you will be encouraged to know that the Lord would want to use his people to channel his blessings to others. The title of this word today is redistribution. I'll begin by reading scripture. Isaiah 25, verse 4. For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. This scripture describes the character and heart of God to be a help to the poor and the needy. 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This scripture admonishes us as Christians to walk out our love for others by providing for those we see in need. Isaiah 58, verse 10. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. This scripture encourages us that our lives will shine as we help others in need. I'll begin reading the word. Draw close to me, and I will reveal to you the secrets of my heart, says the Lord. Acknowledge my love for you. Be aware of my presence, and understand that I am right beside you, leading you, guiding you, helping you through every difficulty. Yes, I am for you, and not against you. And I am making a way for you to move forward where there has been no way. I am opening up to you a broad spectrum of activity. I will identify those things that are of importance in this day and hour. I will direct you to them. Do not be faint-hearted, but stir up the giftings that lie dormant within you and begin to move out in them. Trust me to bring success to every endeavor. Trust me to assign to you your portion in my plan to reach the nations, says the Lord. Great resources are coming your way, for I am emptying storehouses into your hands. I have given you the mandate to bring into your barns and warehouses goods that are coming from afar. I will direct them to you, channel them to your door. I have assigned my angels to watch over the wares as they are transported to you through a network that I am putting in place. Goods from near and far shall flow through this system and into the hands of those who are faithful to distribute them to those in need. This is the day when this ministry shall go forth, says the Lord. I shall storm the gates of hell, break down doors of resistance, and apprehend goods out of the hands of the wicked. Soon you shall see the movement of goods coming into the storehouses of my elect, of those whom I have positioned for the purpose of housing the wanderer and meeting the needs of those who have little. You may say that there is no great need for these things, but I declare to you that there are many who are in need even at this very moment. I am putting a system in place whereby the needs of these shall be met. So be faithful to gather the goods and redistribute them according to my divine instruction. Many shall come to you in the day of famine. They shall come to your door in need, and I shall give to you the mantle of humility and equip you with the goods. I shall make a display of my splendor in your midst, for these shall come from miles around to taste of the goodness of the Lord. I have prepared my heavenly host, who shall make the way ready, says the Lord. Resources are coming our way. The Lord has promised that he will transfer resources out of the hands of the wicked and give them to those who belong to him for the purpose of meeting the needs of others. May the Lord put this system in place. May this network function according to his will and purpose. And may the needs of those who have little be met in this day, and especially in the days to come, if there is famine in the land, food shortages, even in Canada and the United States of America, as our economic system is shaken and things are being reordered. I pray that our hearts would be open to receive from the Lord and to redistribute our goods to the poor. Be blessed on this day, and thank you for listening. I hope this word will encourage you that God has a part for you to play in his plan to bring in an end time harvest in this day, in this hour. He is faithful to us. Let us be faithful to him. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye for now.
Hi everyone, I'm Melissa with Midnight Hour Oil. Today I wanted to come out and talk to you about a few things, and this video is probably going to be a little longer than my videos normally are because there's a lot that I want to cover today. The first thing I want to go over are just a couple dreams I was given over the past week, which I believe point to an encouragement of a pre-trib rapture. I believe the Lord is showing us in these dreams I was given that promise will be fulfilled. And we just need to trust him. And the second thing is, I know I have a lot of newer subscribers, and many may not have heard me talk about why I say that a pre-tribulation rapture is bedrocked in Scripture. So I want to take time today and go over exactly why I say that and why I believe that. And I know everybody has their own opinions and their own schools of thought on this, but I just want to make it clear why I believe what I believe and where I see in Scripture that promise of a pre-trib rapture is very, very real. All right, so the first thing I wanted to share, like I said, are a couple dreams. Back on October 6th, which was actually at sundown, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, I had this dream where I and many other people were out on this, near this railroad, and we were working very, very hard, like manual type labor. And then it started to get dark, and everybody got on the train, and I was kind of in the front, and I could see as the train was coming into this really large barn. All right, and the train made it in and stopped, and everybody was getting off the train, and we were all really tired and we were dirty, but we made it into the barn. It was a really large barn. And when I woke up from that dream, I immediately thought of those scriptures that talk about the wheat being gathered into the barn. The first one is from Matthew 3, verses 11 through 12, and this is where John the Baptist is actually speaking about Jesus, and he says this: I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Okay, the next scripture is from Matthew 13:30, and this is where Jesus, in a parable, is comparing the wheat and the tares, all right, or the weeds. And this is what he says, "Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Okay, again, the reference to the barn, I believe, is the reference to the church, God's people, the Lord's people being hidden, all right, in a time when there's going to be a lot of trouble, tribulation, Jacob's trouble coming on the earth, and the weeds or the tares being burned up, of course, speaks to the wicked, the unbelievers, who will be on this earth during that time. All right, now the second dream was the next night on the 7th, which was also Rosh Hashanah. And in this dream, I just real quickly heard a voice say Psalm 3:3, and I woke up immediately, and then I wrote it down. The next day, I looked it up, and in Psalm chapter 3, I had one verse underlined, and it was verse 3. And this is what it says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head." All right, so immediately I'm thinking, this is just an encouragement that in the times of trouble, the Lord is going to be with us and protect us. And I initially just thought this was just an encouragement for God's protection. But then I did some more research on Psalm 3, and I learned that Psalm 3 is actually the psalm that David wrote when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. Now, if you're familiar with this story, I believe it's in 2 Samuel, what happened was Absalom, who is a type of Antichrist, all right, was trying to take over the kingdom, and he had won the hearts of the people, and so it got to the point where David had to run, he and his household, and hide from Absalom. And when you look at that psalm and you understand the biblical prophetic parallel there, where David is symbolic of Christ, a type of body of Christ on the earth, and Absalom being a type of Antichrist, this speaks to a time when the body of Christ will be hidden from Antichrist, all right? And I'm going to go over the scriptures that basically tell us that is exactly what's going to happen. But first, I found this interesting as I was doing more research on Psalm 3. You can actually cross-reference it with Luke 21:28, which is the Lord Jesus speaking of end times, and he says, "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." All right? So the lifting of the head, I believe, is a part of recognizing God's plan of redemption for his people and a time when he will come and get his people and hide them. All right? Now, what I want to talk about concerning the hiding away, okay, of the body of Christ. There's a little bit of controversy concerning 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And I want to talk about some things that might help shed light on the true meaning of this scripture. All right, so I'll go ahead and just read it first, and then we're going to break it down a little bit, okay? So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, the Apostle Paul says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Right, now understand, Paul is setting the context of this passage by saying the coming of the Lord Jesus and our gathering together unto him. This is what he is basically talking about. "That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word." If they were troubled, what does this tell us? They think that the gathering has already taken place, and they have been left behind for the tribulation. nor by letter as from us, as that that day of Christ, okay, the day of the Lord, the time of Jacob's trouble, is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come, except there come a, and the Greek word is apostasia, departure first, okay, and you got to get this. Many translations of the Bible now call that rebellion, revolt, apostasy, and they change the whole context, the whole meaning of that scripture to mean a church rebellion. But Tommy Ice was on Gary Stearman's Prophecy Watchers a while back, and he provided some historical data concerning biblical translations of that word. If you go back to the 4th century, I'm just going to real quickly go over these. The Latin Vulgate Bible translated that word, apostasia, as departure. In 1384, the Wycliffe Bible translated it as departure. 1388, the Wycliffe Purvey Bible, departure. 1526, the Tyndale Bible, departure. 1535, the Coverdale Bible, departure. 1539, the Cranmer Bible, departure. 1540, the Great Bible, departure. 1560, the Geneva Bible, departing. 1576, the Breeches Bible, departing. Now, it wasn't until 1582 that the Reims Bible translated that revolt, that word revolt, apostasia. Then in 1583, the Beza Bible, departing. 1608, Geneva Bible, departing. Now, it's important to note here that it was in 1517 that Martin Luther led a protest against Catholicism in what is called the Reformation, and that change in translation took place after, you know, what the Catholic organization would have considered a rebellion or a revolt. So, you know, it is a distinct possibility. That is why it began to be translated revolt. But in every other translation prior to that, it was departing or departure. And it's important to see it in that context, because if you go back to verse 1 again, Paul sets the tone by saying, are gathering together unto him. That's what I'm talking about, he says. So that has to happen first. The departure has to happen first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth. Meaning, like, what holds him back. That's the Greek word katecho, which means to hold back, to hinder that which, actually, it's defined as that which hinders Antichrist from making his appearance, that he might be revealed in his time. Right? There's an appointed time for him to be revealed. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Okay? So again, there's, who's holding that back? Holy Spirit. Who fills the body of Christ? Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, the church, have to be pulled out of the way. And then in verse 8 it says, then shall that wicked be revealed. All right, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So understand that when Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 8, he was writing to a church who was very concerned, very upset. They were suffering in a way they felt was so bad that they thought they were in the tribulation. And Paul was encouraging them. He was not writing to them in order to tell them that there was going to be a church rebellion. All right. Now, yeah, we know there's apostasy, and we've had that since, you know, what was it, the 3rd century when Constantine infiltrated the church. But, all right, so but that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul's talking about the gathering together unto the Lord and what the time when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way that will allow Antichrist to come on the scene. So they should know they're not in the tribulation. And they haven't been left behind, okay? They will be gathered together to the Lord first. First. That's the first order. And that's really important to understand. But, you know, that's not the only scripture that speaks of the pre-tribulation rapture. But I want to go over some points, really important points that tell us that there will be a pre-tribulation rapture. First of all, Jesus, we know, took the wrath of God on his own body, all right? We know that. And if the church, who are the body of Christ, had to endure the wrath of God a second time, that would be considered double jeopardy. And even according to man's law, that would be unjust. But we know from 1 Thessalonians 5:9, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." All right. Second, Jesus said this. He said, "Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Luke 21:36. Now, if the rapture were post-tribulation, as some believe, or even mid-trib, what was Jesus talking about? From what would people be praying to escape from? Okay? Third, there's a common protest to the pre-trib rapture concerning cleansing of the church. Now, this one is probably the most heretic protest I hear, and I'm going to explain why I say it's absolute heresy. All right. Now, first of all, think of it logically. If Jacob's trouble were intended to cleanse the church, if that's really what it was for, bride has to be cleansed before she can go be with the Lord, then how is it that the majority of the church, those saints who have already passed away, are exempt from that? If that's what it takes, is the tribulation to cleanse the body of Christ, then how are those saints who've already passed away going to be cleansed? Okay, that's just a little bit of logic. The real issue here, I'm telling you, this is an attack of Satan. He loves to diminish the blood of the Lord Jesus, loves to do that. And this is how he has done it. The first thing he did was he led many of the Jews to go back to the sacrificial system and start sacrificing animals after they had made a commitment to Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, this is actually called trampling the Son of God underfoot. To disregard the blood of Jesus is to trample Jesus underfoot. In Hebrews 10:29, it says, "How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them?" Do you see what sanctifies us? The blood of the covenant, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the tribulation, not suffering, not any form of martyrdom. These are things that the church has been dealing with for 2,000 years. This is not how the church is refined. Each believer through suffering is refined. That's true. But the time of Jacob's trouble is not for the cleansing of the bride. The time of Jacob's trouble is intended to deal with Israel and her unbelief and bring her in to a faith covenant with her Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So that's one way the enemy is diminishing the blood of Jesus, to get the Jewish people to go back to the sacrificial system, to even insinuate that a believer in Christ must still be cleansed. Sounds like wisdom to have to suffer, but it has that appearance, but it literally also diminishes the blood of Jesus and the finished work of Jesus on the cross, to say that there is something else necessary, like going back to the sacrificial system. Well, we still need to sacrifice bulls and goats and use their blood to cleanse. No. And to say, oh, we need to suffer and we need to go through the tribulation. No. It's all heresy, and it's all an attack of Satan against the blood of Jesus, which he hates. All right? So when you hear those arguments, understand that the blood of Jesus is under attack there. And if you go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it's very, very clear. The blood of Jesus is how we triumph. over Satan, the accuser. Revelation 12:11 says, they triumphed over him, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Okay, do you see why Satan is coming against the blood of Jesus? He knows how powerful it is, church, and we need to recognize that his blood is what cleanses us, his blood alone. I want to also point out Jacob's trouble is God's wrath. I often hear people say, well, I'm pre-wrath, meaning I believe that the rapture will happen before God's wrath. Well, if you go to Revelation 6:16, this is really where the beginning of the seals are opened and being poured out. And what you hear the people saying here is this: fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Right? This is the wrath of the Lamb that's beginning to be poured out here. This is not just some trials, some troubles, right? General tribulation. This is specifically the wrath of God. Therefore, this is Jacob's trouble that we see unfolding beginning in Revelation chapter 6. Right? Satan, you have to understand, in his workers are actually going to be used for God's purposes. And sometimes when it looks like evil's prevailing, we forget that God is sovereign, that he's going to have his way, but he will have his way, church. You need to understand that. Get that into your heart, into your mind. Revelation 17:17 tells us this when it says, for God has put into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to hand over the beast, their royal authority, until God's words are fulfilled. I'm going to read that again. Revelation 17:17. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to hand over the beast, their royal authority, until God's words are fulfilled. All right. All that is going to be happening during the time of Jacob's trouble is to fulfill God's word. It is for his purposes. The enemy is always playing into the hand of the Father, always, always, all right? He is not sovereign. Our God is sovereign, and he will have his way. And remember that, church. The enemy would have you to think he is the one in charge. He's the one calling the shots. God is in control. He always has been, he is now, and he always will be. Another thing to remember, pattern is prophecy in the Word of God. And Jesus compares the end times to the days of Noah and the days of Lot. So what we need to understand is that there's one thing that both